Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm probably doing that wrong if you're watching on the video because we are celebrating the Waka Waka of the Pac-Man Maryland Lottery scratch-off giveaways. We're going to be giving these away on Wednesday at Greenmount Bowl. That's the half duck pin, half 10-pin house up in Greenmount Station parking lot in Hampstead. We're going to be having the crab cake over Greenmount Station, so come on up and enjoy that. 4 o'clock, we're watching the Orioles take on the California Angels of Anaheim via LA. And then we come home to the Oakland Athletics on Friday. That will be at Fadley's on Friday. Luke will be joining us there. Some political candidates. Hopefully some baseball on Friday night. Certainly some draft results this weekend as Luke will keep you abreast of all things draft. As it's going on, you'll get breaking news on the WNST Tech Service. And last but not least, our 25th anniversary documentary, No One Listens, Everyone Hears, debuts at 5:08 p.m. Eastern Time. This guy won't have to worry about that because he's always just a little bit behind, usually about 3 hours behind because he lives out on the West Coast. Maury Brown joins us. He is our defending champion, Bizball Maury, guitarist in AC/DC cover band Shoot the Thrill. And now, probably to honor not just Matt Holliday and Jackson Holliday, and all good German people by being in a cover band for Scorpions with a Holiday. We welcome Maury Brown back onto the program. What's going on, brother? Happy. Yeah, I tried to get you on for opening day and all that. That was so 3 weeks ago, man. We're on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now. We're on to documentaries. We're on to your Houston Texans story. How you been out there in Portland, Oregon?
Pretty good. I mean, the weather's, you know, snapping out of it. You know, we're coming out of our, you know, hole. And, yeah, man, doing some gigs. Gigs are starting to pick up. Baseball season in full swing pretty much right now. And so, yeah, man, it's actually been a really fun time right now.
Do you do the song Holiday in the Scorpions cover band?
We're not, because we wanted to keep it upbeat. We got so much other stuff, but I love the song. Yeah, we do Loving You Sunday Morning and Love Drive, Coast to Coast off that album. You know, the Love Drive album, which is awesome. But yeah, man, it's a lot of hits and stuff. So
you're rocking a Schenker Flying V. What are you rocking, man?
Yeah, man. I don't know if you can see one of them in the background here. I got the I got a white Dean V for that. I've also got another wood grain one. And then I borrow a couple of other ones, man. I'm like using 3 or 4 guitars for that one. So yeah, man, that's a lot more fun. I mean, when you're doing Malcolm Young, you're really walking just back and forth to the mic. And so I get to run around and play Rudolph Schenker and, you know, get my old knees in action.
There's no one like you, Maury Brown. Let me tell you that right now. Maury's covered sports for a long time and covers the business of sports, amongst other things. I don't know why I thought of you, but when I thought of the business of sports in West Coast, and I know we've had these conversations, I sort of plotted to have you on when we're playing the Oakland A's, right? Or the Sacramento A's, Las Vegas A's, whatever we're going to call them this week, the Charlie Finley A's. So I've sort of gone to the Wayback Machine. I've had Susan Fornoff on, who got the rat from Dave Kingman 40 years ago and is also from Baltimore. Susan Fornoff's a bit of a Baltimore sports writing legend. But I also had Jason Turbo on, who wrote the Oakland book. And, man, you've covered this. A lot of people have covered this, but for me, and with what's happened with the Orioles, and we'll bring it full circle, the Masson F-upitude and Peter Angelos and all of that, man, Major League Baseball, and I know you love them and you write about them and Manfred's been good to you and all, they get things wrong so often, and they're years, I mean, they're 20 years unraveling how badly they icked up the Nationals, Orioles, Masson. Dealing with Angelos, we're that far gone and screwing up the San Juan, all the things that happened there, and here we are a quarter of a century later, and like, this is icky. Every part of this is just, I've said to many people, if they were a hotel chain, they would rip the Marriott or the Hyatt brand off the front, and they wouldn't allow, and this is obviously the real Major League Baseball logo, they wouldn't allow this kind of brand to be stuck on something like the Oakland Athletics, Maury.
Yeah, you know, there's a long history of short-term decisions to the long-term detriment. I mean, what they're doing here is they finally got tired of it. And this includes the players, right? I mean, in the latest collective bargaining agreement that we're in the midst of, they basically said, look, you either get a stadium sorted out or you're going to have your revenue sharing taken away from you.
We'll go play in the PCL, right? I mean, literally, you know, go back with Charlie Finley and go play with the St. Louis Browns and the Kansas City Athletics. It's not Major League Baseball, Mari. You know, it really
No, it's bad. And the problem with this thing that I don't get is, all right, I get that you wanted to get this thing sorted out so you could get to expansion. This is what it's all about. You have the A's. You get the A's and the Rays out of the way. It opens up the door. There are going to be two clubs paying $2 billion. That's $4 billion that gets infused to the 30 owners. And they can't do that until they get the A's and the Rays sorted out. So they just, you know, it's very been ham-handed. It's just been handled really badly. The fact that there's no $300 million relocation fee speaks to the fact that John Fisher just didn't have the money. I mean, he just was not going to be able to pull this thing off if they did that. So they looked the other way on that. And then, you know, they've just botched this every which way they possibly can. And the only logical answer to this thing is we'll get past this. Eventually, John Fisher's gone. And then the A's will maybe be rebranded and a new owner will come along and it'll all work itself out. But again, I mean, you mentioned what happened, the long-term effects of what happened when the league bowed down to Peter Angelos on the relocation of the Expos and placated them by creating Masson. And that has
But they killed
them.
The franchise 5 years before that. Mari, I'm doing this 25th anniversary documentary. I know you're going to watch it. I would, but I used to have, when I was syndicated, turn of the century, I had Jesse the Body Ventura on. I was actually trying to find the tape of that because I wanted to like maybe get it in. The reason he used to call my show is they were trying to contract the Minnesota Twins and he wasn't going to hear it when he was the governor of Minnesota. And at that time, they started effing with the Expos, right? We're going to contract the Expos. What did Quebec say? They gave them two giant French middle fingers. I don't know how to say F you in French, but that's what they said. And nobody went, and they had a desperate, awful, bleeding franchise, much like the Florida Marlins were that when they were winning World Series, much like the Padres were that when they were fire sailing them. The Orioles have been that most of the last 20 years, really. Since Ripken retired, it's been – a manure show and the Redskins in Washington, right? Like you go through these franchises in these leagues that they have allowed this lawlessness. And it really, I guess, dates back to Al Davis and how afraid they were of Al Davis in the NFL and how much power an individual owner has in these leagues and that they can't just come and strip the franchise away. Maybe in the LA Clippers case they did, but
right.
Or the Charlotte, Panthers, the Carolina Panthers, when the owner was having problems, but they've managed to divest themselves of these creeps when needed. And then they've allowed Dan Snyder to hang around a decade too long. Angelo's 2 decades too long. And this Oakland thing, just the latest eyesore to me, it does harken back to Montreal and saying, y'all have always mismanaged your bottom three or four franchises and allowed there to be no bottom. I mean, there was no bottom for the Washington Redskins and for that creep. There really was no bottom. There was no bottom for Peter here. There's no bottom right now for the Chicago White Sox as far as what they're putting on the field.
Yeah, I think the thing that's important to remember here, Nestor, is it's not that easy to eject owners. And you really got to have them over a barrel. I mean, they have got to mess up extraordinarily, right? Certainly, Dan Snyder was one of those, but even he was hard to show the door. John Fisher, you could say, well, he's not, you know, he's not able to go ahead and field the team and he's thumbing his nose at running at the margins and running a profit. I don't know if that's enough to say it's, you know, we're removing you in the best interest of baseball. Because there's a lot of other guys out there that I'm sure are, you know, to a lesser extent doing that sort of thing. What I think happens with the A's is similar to what happened with Jeffrey Loria, who owned the Marlins, right? He was a horrible owner. David Sampson, their president, was horrible. And so what happens? They get the stadium, and about a year or two later, they sell at this massive profit. But they get it over the finish line. They say, thank you very much, and away you go. Now, you did. You mentioned Sterling with the Clippers, and that was, you know, obviously something, especially with the NBA, that was never going to fly. So that was a good one. The last time we really saw this in baseball, you can't use the Expos because the league bought the Expos from Jeffrey Loria. So it was like, they're not going to hurt them themselves. Bud Selig and, you know, 29 other guys own it. The last time was Frank McCourt, who owned the Dodgers. And he had put it into bankruptcy because he mismanaged it and was going to sell. He was in the middle of this horrible divorce, one of the most expensive divorces in L.A. County history.
She's a Baltimore native, Jamie McCourt.
Right.
So, yeah, she's
right?
A Baltimore.
You know, with the parking lots and all that.
I know
that
all about the limo driver. Come on now. Come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right up there with The Wire as far as the greatest stories ever told, right?
Yeah. So he was going to go ahead and basically sell the media rights at a huge discount. And Selig and the owners were wise enough to say, you can't do that. And now you're mucking with a core thing. You set the bar, just like with player salaries, right? Player reaches a certain salary, that sets the bar for others. You go and mess around with a TV deal, you're setting the bar for others. And so they weren't going to let them set the market for especially the Dodgers. So that, to me, is the last time you saw somebody really shoved out. But, I mean, again, look at how the Angelos family did. That was no shining, you know, beacon on the hill. Certainly the A's. There will always be these teams, right? It's sad but true. I mean, look at the Dolans and running the Knicks. I mean, it's just terrible, right? I mean, you just don't want to see that, but it does mention that every league seems to have one or two of them, and they're a black eye for whatever league they're in.
Yeah, Dolan's the biggest creep in the world, but he did make a nice concert venue and a nice sphere in Vegas.
Right.
Mari, yeah. Have you been to the sphere yet?
I have not. I wanted to go see. So I know the U2 thing was, you know, that was largely the same set. I watched the video for the Fish set, the 4 days that they did there, and that was insane.
They didn't
because
play the
it
same
was different
notes
every night.
They? Right, yeah. It was completely different, right?
Completely different. And there were like Easter eggs that they'd put into the video. The video was ridiculous again. So, you know, I got to go check it out. I really do. I just, you know, trying to figure out maybe it ain't going to happen because Alex has said it's not going to happen. But you can always dream of a Lee Lifeson tour, right? With maybe Danny Carey from Tool on drums or whatever. I'd love to see what Rush could have done in a setting like that. It would have been amazing.
Yeah, I saw him on stage at Massey Hall together doing the book tour, and it warmed my heart. I even wore my Major League Baseball shirt, especially for you. Mari Brown is here. He is Bizball Mari at Forbes and covering the business of sports. You can follow him anywhere, good social media follows. You said something that I mean, I always learn stuff when I have you on, which is why I have you on, but you said $2 billion will be the fee for expansion. The Orioles sold for $1.7 billion. And came with $600 million of public money to fix the stadium. Did the Orioles just sell for less than an expansion team?
I don't think you want to look at it that way, Nestor.
I did the math on it.
There's other clubs, right, that you would say that is. Well, what it's really doing is you could sit there. So I'm going to go use a different example. I remember when Steve Ballmer bought the Clippers, right? You brought up Sterling, so now that's back in my mind. When Ballmer bought the Clippers, it was for $2 billion, and everybody thought he was insane. It was way over market value, and now he looks really smart, right? The value of the clubs have all gone up, and they grow at this rapid rate.
The Angelos family made $1 million a week. For every week they own the team, they bought it for $29 million in cash. They made $1 million a week for 1,650 weeks. That's a billion, $1.6 billion. They made in addition to pulling the $150 million a year that they were annually pocketing from Masson and from profit divestitures. So like. And all they did was destroy the team for the market. All they did was fight with people. They never had a peaceful day ever, but they never, ever went to bed a night in their lives without making $150,000 off the having it, just owning it.
But that's why that $2 billion expansion fee for each one, right? So there'll be two of them. There'll be, you know, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get to 32, so there'll be two of them. That's the reason. Anybody that gets into the club understands. So once you get in there, you're basically printing money. And even if you go in, some clubs will see a down period where their operating income, their profit will be down. But for the most part, right, over a period of time, they're making a bunch of money. And the value of that club continues to increase over and over and over. the value of sports franchises outpace, I don't care what Rob Manfred said, they outpace the stock market. And he said, hey, if you take the money that you invest in our clubs and you put it in the 14%. Stock market, you're going to make
more. Leonard Raskin said the Orioles is 14% annual compounded interest is what they got from the minute they bought it. 14% over 31 years, every minute of every day, they were getting 14%.
Yeah. And so I don't listen. First of all, I don't
think the asset. That's not even the profit. That's just the asset.
That's just operating income of the thing that's churning,
right?
Not what you get on the back end of it. But listen, I don't have a problem if somebody wants to get involved in business to make money. What bothers me is when you're making money and putting a crappy product on the field and not doing right to the fans. It's different than purchasing some other business entity. It's a civic asset, so you have to do something with it. But again, I don't begrudge. These guys aren't doing this stuff to make their heads spin. Now, some clubs have gone in and had periods of time. The Padres are a good example of this. They're probably in over their head. I know they are. They have to be, right? They did that because there was an owner that was on his deathbed that wanted to go ahead and really try and bring a World Series championship to San Diego. More power to them, right? At some point, there are windows of opportunity. And what bothers me, and it should bother every other fan of any sport, is when a team hangs around the bottom and isn't doing anything to win, but they're making money off of fans. They're making
Pittsburgh
money
Pirates,
off of fans.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right? Been going on a lot of places.
The hope, and we're not going to know for a while, Nestor, is how new ownership of the Orioles treat the fans and run the operation.
Well, by the way, my media credential, you'll be happy to know, I'm under review, Mari. Under review. So they're listening. I hope over 40 years in my video will show that I've earned my press credential. But so new ownership, I it's something I've never really spoken to you about or anyone else. I think I've said over the last 90 days, I've never spoken to my son, my wife about Peter Angelos dying. The day he dies, I thought he would never die. And I thought that even if he did, the kid would be as ornery as Mark Davis. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it just, you weren't going to remove them. My understanding on the Angelos side is mom made this happen as much as Major League Baseball told John, you're not getting the team. We're going to do whatever we can do to make sure you don't get the team.
It didn't help, Nestor, that there was all that rumblings about going to Nashville and trying to do that. And then Rob's got to get out there and say, no. I mean, it would never have made any sense. For one thing, they need those doggone markets for expansion. You can't back to the A's. I don't understand why you would go and burn your best relocation and expansion market for the A's. It's just a bad idea.
Same reason they were never going to let Al Davis in L.A. Anybody could come to L.A. but Al. We don't want Al Davis's people. Mark, we're not letting the Raiders come to L.A., even though the Raiders were the native home team in L.A.
Yeah, and that was like, look, man, I grew up as a kid in the Bay Area. I went to the Raiders games. I went to A's games. You know, this idea that it's somehow different now, the only thing that is different is I think social media has made, and to a larger extent, the internet and people that are covering the business side, people are more educated. And Al Davis really did. He completely altered and upended sports by going to L.A. and then threatening L.A. and going back to Oakland. And then here we are, they go off to Las Vegas. You don't want to see it. It's just bad business. But we're going to see this.
It hasn't damaged the Raiders at all, though. As a brand?
No.
And honestly, the worst thing that they did was play in Oakland those years when it was awful and empty and playing on a baseball field, like all of that. Like, that was the most damaging thing, was hanging around as long as they did in Oakland, because it felt like they were never staying. I mean, like, it just never did. And the A's, I'm shocked, Mari. You grew up in that area. How many people really thought that that was going to get saved in some way? Like, and I thought, who's going to save it? It's not going to be the citizens of California building a tent for the A's. And now that you look at the city of Oakland with the Warriors, Raiders gone, now the A's where they are. I mean, it's really it's a tragedy for people of that region who love sports for what has happened there. And I take the juxtaposition of, like, we got an awful owner here in this new stadium, and the state went and gave him $600 million or his heirs. Now we have a new owner, thank God. Football side, same thing. Here, they just pushed $1.2 billion through, gave it to Bisciotti and gave it to the Angelos people. No questions asked. That's not going on in Kansas City. That's not going on in Northern Virginia for Ted Leonsis or whatever. I mean, what's happened here for these teams is different, unique, special. I don't know if you heard, we lost our bridge 3 weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We got crime problems and school problems. Like, all of these issues that every other municipality has. Kansas City gave two flaming middle fingers to the Royals and the Chiefs, right? Like, and the state of Missouri. Like, this in California, this is unheard of that you would spend money on this. And in other places, Nashville, maybe Portland, they're begging to say, we want a franchise. We're willing to play ball.
I think, and this is where it speaks to Vegas. Man, if there's a place that knows how to do development, that's the place. Man, they are so business-centric, right? They're blowing up hotels and building new ones every 5 seconds, right? So the ability to get stuff to go through, they can always go, well, look, you know, we'll go ahead and we'll push a, you know, a rental car tax or a hotels tax because we are a big tourist location. So it's a lot easier for it to happen there. You mentioned Portland, man, I don't know how to tell you this, but this place is the most anti-business about that sort of thing. They're like, hey, man, we just had a strike with teachers and you're talking about laying off, you know, teachers and stuff. No way we're going to go and give you money of that magnitude for a baseball ballpark.
For some,
right?
Prick like Fisher, literally, right? I mean, it's always these bandit guys moving these teams in general, right? Like, you're not getting a new citizen. You're getting a pirate. I mean, a known pirate, quite frankly.
Well, and the thing that I think is important to understand is that when these cities and these you know, get the teams, let's say it's expansion or relocation, Vegas is like, man, that's 680 in there. We've got teachers going, let's fight this thing and get a referendum, try and get it removed. But let's say it goes through. I can put it on an egg timer how long it'll be before John Fisher or whoever the next owner is starts asking for upgrades to the ballpark. It happens in every single market in the country with every professional league. Major League Baseball is not the exception here. Every, you know, you look at what's going on with the Bears, right? Or look at what was going on, you know, with the Commanders and trying to get, you know, a stadium built again out of state, you know, moving across state lines and getting stuff done elsewhere.
As a Marylander, you can have them. I'll tell you that right now. As a Marylander, you can have them.
So, but this thing, right, there's always going to be, you know, about 5 years after something's put together, there will start to be murmurs. And at 10 years, it gets serious. Well, you know, if we don't get this thing, we might have to relocate. You know, it does start to happen. The shelf life on stadiums and facilities seems to be about 20 years now.
I was in Arlington. It's amazing what they've done down there. They have two Major League Baseball stadiums sitting on top of each other. Literally.
I know. And so, and you know, it was interesting. I did this story again with the Texans, and it was just weird to drive the NRG Stadium and see the Astrodome still there. Now that, yeah, you don't get rid of that because it's historic, but it's just like, it's still there. You know, it's still
around. About, it still looks like a pinky sitting next to
right.
a palm, doesn't it?
It does. But again, that idea that whether it's the Raiders finally, you know, I'm waiting for it to happen with the Raiders. We will see this, right? You just mentioned what's happening with the Orioles and the Ravens, right? How much money just is coming in from the state. So it never ends. It really doesn't. And the question always is, how much? It's a private enterprise, but it's a matter of civic pride. How do you quantify what the Ravens mean to a fan or what the Orioles mean to a fan in Baltimore? It's hard to quantify it. It's like asking what museums or zoos mean to them. But is it worth the amount of public money that goes into them? And that is always the question. And look, it's way overskewed. Like we mentioned all this money that the owners are making, that the leagues are making. Okay.
Well, the option to save the A's is the citizens of California all getting together to give this prick $2 billion when they have crime issues, school issues, money issues, funding issues, potholes, all of these things that it is outrageous. You know, I went on the air here 32 years ago doing radio without a football team, crying, boo-hooing, crawling, please give us a team. We'll build you a – we'll do anything, Miss Frontieri. We'll do anything, Mr. Davis. We'll do anything, Mr. Brown. Oh, Mr. Modell, you like our deal? Come on in. We'll kick the dogs. We'll have a team for you. And then 28 years later, there's a prick who owns the team who bans media members. He ran from me. He ran from me like a coward 3 weeks ago when all I had was questions, primarily about my press pass. But then the next thing would be about the $600 million of civic money they're taking and honoring Ray Rice, amongst other things. But, like, no questions for the owners either. That's all. That's the other part of this. The other part of this is they take the money. They sit down. Peter, oh, we're going to do great things. I'm a very available individual. He said this on my show. Never heard from him again. So right. There really is this ability in the Donald Trump world to just run and hide, put lawyers out in front of it, put out of town guys like Sashi Brown and Chad Steele out in front of it and just say, no questions, no questions for you. And that's another part of this is the PR and the communication, which I want to bring it full circle to Baltimore. Maury Brown is here. The Oakland A's are in town this weekend. Luke and I are going to be at Fadley's on Friday with Maryland Lottery scratch-offs, with the Pac-Man scratch-offs. Crab cakes, shrimp salad, our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions supporting us as well as Jiffy Lube MultiCare. So a new owner gets a team. Billionaire. $1.7 billion, Baltimore guy. Good guy, apparently, from all expectations. Cal Ripken's involved. Kurt Schmoke's involved. Celebrities involved. All this stuff happens. They got the best young baseball America core in the sport. And I've said this many times about Deepak Chopra the last couple weeks. It is pure potentiality for what the Orioles could be and what the next 5 years. They have $600 million in funny money to build decks and stadia and bathrooms and point of sale and whatever they need to build down there. What do you expect to happen? I mean, this is an interesting sale for a baseball nerd like you, 3,000 miles away. At one point, you're trying to steal expansion teams out there in Portland. We were never going to be that candidate. But this thing fell into a hellish state for a long, long time. And I'm trying to explain to Mr. Rubenstein's people about the trauma and the terrorism that that Peter Angelos begat on sort of everybody that came in his wake and how you repair that, how you fix that. And at every point, Mari, I bring it to you, it comes to Masson, money, media, and whatever the new model of how we're going to get sports and how we're going to grow sports in a lacrosse market here, because we have a special thing here with lacrosse in springtime. Rubenstein's got his hands full, but from your perspective, you're thinking, Jesus, the Orioles, you can fix that. You can get 2.5 million people back to Orioles games seeing this group of baseball players.
Yeah, I think that there's always the how do you balance it between the old days of the Orioles where they were overpaying right for bad or over talent, veteran talent, star talent that was over into their decline years, right? And so I like, of course, where they've landed finally, right, in terms of their development pool and their development path. So in my mind, the model has always been what the St. Louis Cardinals have done. And if you talk to Jim Crane, you know, who owns the Astros, he wanted to mirror the Astros after how the Cardinals were built, which was solid, smart development, augment smartly in free agency. And that should keep the machine churning well and keep your windows open. And if I look at the Astros, they pretty much did that. Now, they had to tear it down to the axles to make it happen. So new ownership is walking into a doggone near perfect situation. So in my mind, the way that it has to be is this. Okay, cool. You've got your development going. Great. Awesome. Who are you going to extend? And how are you going to augment? And that, I think, will be the telling thing, because then it will be not some blip, not some anomaly in the development cycle and the history of the Orioles, but something that's sustainable. I mean, they really are a fantastic team. They should be able to go up against the Yankees, right? Which are, you know, solid this year, but they should be able to do that. I would expect, again, you mentioned it already, they're going to make updates to, you know, they're going to make updates to Camden Yards. They're going to do those updates. It's, you know, a jewel. You're not going to leave it. You're going to augment it and keep the quaintness and the historic nature of it around. That is the success path for me. I don't think it needs to be like herky jerky. They certainly need to do more than nothing. They need to do something to show that this thing where like we're developing and then it's just going to go by the wayside, which is kind of what the Pirates have done. And to a lesser extent, the Mariners, they should be able to do something with it. So that's what I'm watching. And you can't do it. And well, you can try. Steve Cohen tried to do it with the Mets in the worst way, right? I'm just going to go buy success right away. So I'm looking to see how smart this guy is. And again, you're not going to get that idea until next season and the year after.
Well, there's nothing desperate about the Baltimore situation right now. Now that Peter's dead, John's gone. The problem is really healing a lot of the people like myself who've been very sideways for a long, long time. And not just Aparicio's, but, you know, other famous last names who actually played the games, who the Surhoffs and the Bordicks and the Crowleys and all of these people that have been mistreated, literally for years and years and years, let alone the businesses and people and the crime issues and getting people back downtown. Mario, we had 35,000 people at a Sunday game the first weekend of the year. Like, I really feel like this is, they called it a sleeping giant. I mean, I don't know if Rob Manfred would ever share that with you, but that's what everybody who talked about the bad side of the Angelos thing, even when they were drafting 1-1 and losing 120 games, this is a sleeping giant because of the history of the franchise, because of the ballpark, because of the location, because of the pedigree of the fan base here, that it could be quickly revived and resuscitated. I'm interested in seeing that from a financial standpoint, because I pointed this out. Now, give you a little rock and roll. I went up to Syracuse last week to see Springsteen, and I was literally up there, and, you know, and I'm a cheapskate, kind of legendarily. I went to the Carrier Dome. I'd never been there. I had my first beer when I walked in. I was feeling all, you know, hey, I'm going to get me a beer. I got $14 beer, and I drank my $14 beer, and I couldn't get to the bathroom, and the bathrooms are substandard there. They have troughs. I love it, but so I didn't want to miss the show, and when I went back to get a second beer, I looked up, and it was $14, and I touched my credit card, and I said, "Nah, not that thirsty. Only hour left in the show. I'm not paying $14 for a beer." The credit card and grabbing the money and how much money the Orioles are going to get from the population here and what it's going to take to sustain that, whether it's the subscription package, the Masson package, the 13-game package, giving them money, being a part of the Orange Club, like all of those things. I really do question how much money is here for them with the Nationals being sold off to the Gypsies 20 years ago. So people aren't driving up from Reston. People aren't driving up from D.C. or taking the MARC train the way they were 30 years ago. And they're certainly not getting that money, that D.C., skybox money that they were getting 30 years ago, which really funded all that you saw in the 90s, all the Roberto Alomars, all of that was really funded by the greater marketing arm of the Orioles being able to get DC money that they'll never, ever get again. I really am questioning whether they are the Tampa Rays or whether this guy's wealthy and like the San Diego Padres and Ilitch just wants to spend too much money to be nice. I'd love that. Even if they give me a press pass, overspend, dude. Spend some of your $1 billion. You're not going to give me the money. All right, give me a press pass, but make the team good. But I am wondering whether they're going to be a mid-market, low market, high market, what the real opportunity is here. Because I don't know if you know this. It's Baltimore, and we're not rich. We're not skyboxy. We're not $650 to sit at center ice like they are in D.C. for Caps playoff games. This isn't that kind of town, and I wonder where all the money's going to come from, because I don't know that baseball, Major League Baseball, is so good at generating all of this outside revenue that's going to fund this thing so we can afford, I don't know, two or three of our $50 million young stars.
Yeah, you mentioned the streaming thing. You picked your phone up earlier, and it's important to talk about it because it will affect Masson. It'll affect everybody. It's affecting everybody now. And it's just that the contracts all come up at different times, Nestor. They're staggered, and they're done that way for a reason. So they kind of like players reaching free agency, right? Going back to the A's, Charlie Finley said, make them all free agents, which terrified Marvin Miller because he understood that it would flood the market. Same deal with television deals. You want to be able to stagger them so that you can go ahead and maximize the market for them. So as those things come up for renewal, we're going to see them drop in either the renewals for lesser amounts and streaming, right? We're at this tipping point. So where Madison fits into that, right, is a core thing. Now, obviously, you go into that with eyes wide open. There's nobody that's buying a club right now that hasn't done their due diligence, hasn't thought about that. But the
old numbers don't match the new numbers, though. For Rubenstein, no. Whatever Madison threw off and Angelos has baked and stole, they just ran off with the money. Like, that money never got seen by the Lerner family. It never got seen by the players. It was a poison pill in the contract that anything they paid the Nationals, they had to pay the Orioles. So everything they did for 20 years was to tourniquet their own revenue for their baseball players, because they were, anything they gave their own players, they had to pay the Nationals players. So that was the dumbest thing that's ever been negotiated by Bud Selig.
Yeah, it was crazy. But I will say this. I think that as hard as this is to believe, that under the Angelos tenure, the Orioles became a depressed asset, which seems damn near impossible. And you got a historic legacy franchise that had this incredible surge going through with the Iron Man run with Ripken, the ballpark opening up. So all of that is there. Then there's this, you know, fan base and others outside of just Baltimore nationally that see the Orioles as should have been in a better position. And so I do think that there's upside. I can't imagine that there wouldn't be. So look,
The fan going to pay for a cable TV, and how many of them are right there? I'm worried for franchises that don't have the Cubs fan base or the Braves fan base, right, because they're going to have all the subscribers. When it comes down to it, how many people identify as an Oriole fan and enough of an Oriole fan to pay $20, $30, $50 a month in season to have the games, maybe get a free t-shirt or a discount on a hot dog, and they want to go to the games, and how often they're going to go to the games and pay $14 for beers, right? Like, and how often are they going to do? Like, I just don't know. In the old world, they had all of these subs. They had grandmothers at the end of every street paying them $3 a month. That model is completely over with. And I keep going back to the hockey model of the 80s and 90s, where you got to earn your keep. It's going to be local sales, going to be game day sales, going to be spigots and beer. It's going to be local sponsorships, going to be local TV, local radio, which is dead. And I say that as an FCC license owner that I'm celebrating here. I don't know where the pie of revenue is if it's not shared the way it is in the NFL. And we know it'll never be properly shared Major League Baseball, because the Lords didn't set that up back in 1994.
Yeah, the pie on the central revenue thing has grown significantly. I mean, that's how the A's are surviving on revenue sharing.
That's BAM primarily? BAM and licensing?
Yeah, I mean, that's a large part of it. I mean, obviously the streaming deal is significant. But the big thing, Nestor, is this. And I say that this might be actually a good thing. So, yes, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Red Sox are going to have those legacy, you know, cornerstone valued brands that are going to be able to sustain themselves through good and bad. God forbid teams would have to be competitive to earn money on their rights. Right? Now, remember, you had RSN deals that would be maybe 10 years in length. So that money was locked in. So good, bad, or indifferent, once that deal was signed, they were making that money. Now, with somebody can go, hey, this year I'm into them. They look good. I'll buy your package. I'll do that.
But dude, I hear you. Who would be buying the Chicago? What would their revenue stream be for Chicago White Sox right now or next year? Given, like, I don't want the games. I'm not buying this year. I'm not buying next year. And then once you get into not buying, even when you win, and the Orioles are a good example of that right now, they're winning, they're back, they're trying. Maybe my wife and I haven't given them any money yet. I mean, I haven't given them my press pass back yet, my rightful press pass, so I haven't given them any money. But when the time comes for me to reach for my wallet, how much am I willing to give them, and what's in it for me? And it's a new world in that way for baseball, not for the Orioles, for baseball is going to have to face that in reselling to their own fan base and completely redeveloping what a subscription, a fan base, my fandom means, and what it directly costs me, because it's not just coming into my living room anymore. It's just not.
Yeah, a big switch recently, Nestor, has been focused on sponsorships. That's another one that you can lock in, right? Naming rights and on the ballpark itself. Now, look, I don't see Camden Yards. Although there was talk at Wrigley Field, it was going to be like, you know, I don't know, Sony Field at Wrigley Field. You know, I mean, something crazy like that. There was that stuff that was floating around. Other clubs, patches, whatever it is, you're starting to see, obviously, digital ads on the back of the mound, on the batter's eye. They are always finding ways to find new inventory for advertisement. So that is what you wind up doing is going, okay, well, if this revenue stream is dropping, then let's look over here. Let's make our hay where we can and try and see what we could do to at least keep in aggregate the revenues up. And so, again, I mean, there's skittishness going on all over the place. And so how long does that window look? How long does it take? Do clubs have to go into the streaming deal, see what happens to get an idea of what their expectations are? That's the big problem, is there's a bunch of atrophy going on right now. The Orioles are actually in a good spot, I think, in this way, because the actual team, right, and the value of the stadium experience is good. The Mariners are up and down all over the place. They're absolutely like in shell shock right now because they don't know what's going on with their streaming deal. So they dump payroll and they're a 500 club right now. I know they're in second or whatever it is, but that's only because they've been playing, you know, the Reds and the Rockies. So again, it's a difficult and time to figure out exactly what's going on. If I'm an Orioles fan, I go, well, the ballpark is the ballpark. The product on the field seems pretty good. We got a new guy, so let's hang our hat on hope.
Let's buy in. Mari Brown is here. He's Bizball Mari. No one covers the business of sports better than he at Forbes, as well as out on the social media places, and he's playing the rock and roll as always. I don't have anything rock and roll to give you. I've been on a little bit of a classic rock bent, just running around a little bit, and I got nothing for you music wise, man. I mean, we got to put Rush back together. We got to resuscitate Neil. We got to go back to the 80s, you and me, Mari.
Well, I'm upset because they don't get this tour, but I'm all jacked about this King Crimson thing that's got Steve Vai and Danny Carey and Tony Levin and Adrian Belew. Looks crazy. My kid's a huge Crimson fan. And so we don't have anything close. I'd have to go to Vegas or San Jose to go see it. So that was the thing I'm kind of jacked about. I'm going to a bunch of shows. I'm going to go see the tribute band known as Lynyrd Skynyrd because I never saw him in the day. So I'm going to go. There's my classic rock thing to get out of the way. But, you know, I continue to go to a lot of them. Tool last time through was amazing, as they always are. That was the best show I've seen in a long time. So,
all right.
Otherwise, it's my playing.
He is a simple man. You're a simple man. You play the guitar like Curtis Lowe. I probably play me a song. One day I'm going to come out. I'm going to see you. I'm going to see the band play, or one of your two bands play, one of the Scorpions band or the AC/DC cover band. I love your work. Love having you on. And I'm glad we waited to like kind of get some air under the business of baseball now that we're back at it, because the Yankees come in this next week and here we go. And there'll be 20,000 Yankee fans in there, which there always are. They're good all of a sudden. And we don't play them as much as we used to in the American League East. This is where we're going to start to make hay next week and say, how can we be that? And we got a Rutschman and a Henderson, and Jackson Holiday will hit the ball eventually. And eventually I hope you guys play the ballad Holiday by Scorpions, because I've been thinking about that a lot.
There you go.
Song, all right.
There you go, man. All right. Always great to see you, Nestor. Always great.
Mari Brown, Bizball Mari, my dude, defending champion around here. We're going to be Wednesday at Greenmount Bowl. Duck pins for me. They don't even know what the hell duck pins are out in Oregon. But we're gonna have up a Greenmount Bowl on Wednesday. We'll be at Greenmount Station watching the Orioles take on the A's. And then on Friday, we're watching the aforementioned Athletics of Oakland via Sacramento via Las Vegas. And I go back to Charlie Finley. And I've had one orange baseball held up on the air already this week, so I'm not going to put up with any more of that. Susan Fornoff, Jason Turbo, Brad Baluchian, who wrote the Wax Pack, came on and did a whole bunch of WrestleMania stuff. But I've been reaching to all my old East Bay heads, including Mike Silver, who has turned me down to something like this NFL draft going on this week. But we're going to get him on next week as well to recap the draft. Luke is doing draft stuff, and it is our 25th anniversary. And to cap it all off, Greg Landry at Blue Rock Productions and Towson Transfers has helped me put together my story, our story, the Baltimore Positive story. It is 25 years of no one listening, but everyone hearing. So I took my cheap shot in that. Make sure you check it out if you get an opportunity. It is released at 5:08 p.m. on Thursday draft night. You ain't got nothing else to do because they're picking 30th and they're probably going to deal into Friday anyway. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive in my best Pac-Man waka 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 thing.